This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. إن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. The function of the messengers was to deliver the message, preach Allah's truth, show what is right and show what is wrong, guide the people to the straight path. Their message was clear and with evident signs. They were sent with effective warnings and glad tidings, and this was given to all nations. However, the greatest part of mankind remained without faith, as the Almighty Lord mentions in His glorious uncreated word.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وما أرسلنا في قرية من نذير إلا قال مترفوها إنا بما أرسلتم به كافرون.
And we send not a warner to a township except those who were given the worldly wealth, the worldly luxuries and pleasures. Among them said, "We believe not in the message that was sent to you." The majority of mankind remained and still remain without faith. This is why on a day of resurrection, the day of retribution, the hereafter, you will see the prophets, some of them with only a small group of followers, others with one or two followers, and you will see some with no followers at all. And this is mentioned by Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "I was shown the nations, and I saw a prophet with a small group of people, and another with one or two followers, and I saw a prophet with no followers at all." وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. And the majority believe not, even if you were to take care in this respect. And there are many indications that have come to us through genuine, authentic sources that testify that Out of every 1,000, 999 human beings go to hellfire. Every 1,000, 999 are in hell, and one are in paradise. As mentioned most explicitly by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a narration collected by Muhammad ibn Ismail from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala an, that He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on a day of resurrection, Allah Ta'ala will say, Ya Adam, O Adam. And Adam immediately will say, Labbaik wa sa'daik. He will reply, I respond to your call. I am obedient to your commands. And all good is in your hands. Allah Ta'ala will say to him, Send forth the people for hellfire. And Adam will reply, How many are the people of hellfire? And how many should I send of my children? Then Allah Ta'ala will say, Out of every 1,999 of them. And at that time, the children's hair will turn grey. And every pregnant female will spontaneously abort. And you shall see the people looking, staring in shock. When they hear this, people will stare in shock as though they are drunk. You think they are drunk, although they are not. But the punishment of the Almighty Lord is merciful. When the companions heard this narration, they felt in a state of distress, uncomfortable. They were scared. They said, Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah, who amongst us will be that man? In that 1,000, one in every 1,000, who amongst us will be that person? Then their beloved teacher, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, responded. He said to them, Be of good cheer, for that 1,000 will be Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, Gog and Magog. And that one will be from among you, by the one in whose hand my soul. I hope that you are the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 1/3 of the people of paradise. So they glorified and praised Allah Ta'ala, the companions, when they heard this. Then he said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, I hope that you are half of the people of paradise. This is a dua from the greatest man that walked this earth. So it's not taken insignificantly. It is a proper, genuine dua from the greatest creature on earth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this ummah may be half of the people of paradise. How beautiful is it to be from the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when they heard that, they glorified and praised Allah more. He said, for you amongst all nations, this nation amongst all nations is like a white hair. A white single hair on the hide of a black bull. One hair, one white hair. This nation is compared to a black bull. Just that one white hair. In another narration collected by Ahmad ibn Shu'aib al-Nisa'i and Imam al-Sunnah, Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal and Abu Isa al-Tirmizi, from Amran ibn Hussein, radiyallahu ta'ala an, that he said, while we were traveling with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of the companions had fallen behind. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, started reciting a verse aloud, so they can hear those that had fallen behind. He started reciting a verse aloud. And this verse is a beautiful verse. فَتَفَضَّلْ يَا مُصْطَفَى.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد.
الله أكبر. He recited aloud, O mankind, fear your Rabb. Fear your Lord, for indeed the convulsion of the hour of resurrection is a terrible thing. The day you shall see it, every nursing mother will forget her suckling, and every pregnant female will abort, unformed. And you shall see the people in a drunken riot, yet they are not drunk, but dreadful, disastrous is the punishment, the wrath of Allah. Now when the companions heard this, they hurried up, knowing that he had something important to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when they called up to him, their teacher, he said, do you know what day that is? That this verse is referring to. Do you know what day that is? That will be the day that the Almighty Lord will call unto Adam, alayhi salam. He will say, Adam, bring forth all those for hellfire. And Adam will reply, and how many are they, are those for hellfire, Ya Rab? And he will say, 999 out of every 1,000 for hellfire, and 1 for paradise. Now upon hearing this, the companions again, this is another narration, they were filled with despair, and they were smiling at first, but when they heard this, their smile vanished. Their smile vanished. Why? Because they knew the reality of this. They knew the meaning of this. They knew the terror of the day of judgment. So when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this, he said to them, be of good cheer and strive hard. For wallahi, for the one in whose hand is Muhammad's soul, you will be, O nation of Muhammad, alongside two creations who are far greater in number than anyone else. He said the first creation being Gog and Magog, and in addition to this, those who are doomed among the human beings to go to hellfire, and those who are doomed among the children of Iblis, Satan, to go to hellfire. Now when they heard this, they were relieved and comfortable. They felt relief. And then he said, by the one in whose hand is Muhammad's soul, in comparison to the rest of creation, you are like the birthmark on the side of a camel. Or you are like a round, the hairless spot on the foreleg of a donkey. And this is the situation of all humanity. The minority believed, and the majority disbelieved. And one may feel sad when he tries and tries and tries to guide those whom he loves, but he is unable. He is unable to guide those whom he loves or save them from the chastisement of the fire. وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. And the majority will not believe. Even if you, O believer, desire to get them into Islam eagerly. And know, dear beloved, that not only you cannot forcefully bring people to Islam, the prophets and messengers. Don't forget the narration that only one of them or a few of them will have only a few followers. Some with no followers at all. Look at Lot with his wife. He could not save her from hellfire. Look at Nuh with his wife and his son. He could not save him from hellfire. Look at the prime example of no other than Muhammad ibn Abdullah with his dear uncle, Abu Talib, who took care of him, brought him up, who loved him dearly. He protected him from Quraysh's bitter enemy. This is why when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was on his deathbed, Abu Talib, he was extremely anxious to convince him to utter the declaration of faith, declaration of light. So he was at his bedside. Ya Ham, say La ilaha illallah, a word that I could aid you by the will of Allah Ta'ala on the day of resurrection, a word that can put you in paradise. But surrounding his bed was whom? The evil chiefs of paganism, of shirk, of kufr. On the head of them was whom? Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance. They were there for one reason: to make sure that he does not abandon the deen of his forefathers. So Muhammad ﷺ was begging him repeatedly, Ya Am, say the word, say the kalima, say La ilaha illallah. And then quickly they would jump in, Atarghabu an millati Abdul Muttalib? Would you abandon, would you forsake the path of your father, Abdul Muttalib? The path of your forefathers? The path of kufr and shirk? And thus, being extremely sad, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam witnessed with his own very eyes his dear uncle who supported him, who loved him, who took care of him against his bitter enemies, Quraysh. On top of them, his uncles, the brothers of Abu Talib. He witnessed him die in a state of polytheism. And then the Almighty Lord consoling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this state of disappointment and grief, he revealed this beautiful verse. فَتَفَضَّلْ يَا مُصْطَفَى
إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ.
Indeed, O Muhammad, you guide not whom you like, not whom you love, not whom you will, but Allah guides whom He pleases. And He knows best of those that are guided. Yes, he died on a state of polytheism. But one thing that we can learn is that the chastisement or the punishment or the tormentation of those who rejected faith, and not only rejected faith, but they harmed or killed the prophets and messengers or the believing servants of Allah Ta'ala, will not be equal to those who just rejected faith and aided the prophets or the Muslims. So there is no comparison. That's why Allah Ta'ala has made levels in hellfire. He's made levels for a reason. A reason like Abu Talib and Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab. And obviously Abu Talib is not going to be in the same level as those evil creatures, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab. And there were three brothers. And they were all the uncles, the paternal uncles of Muhammad SAW. But Abu Talib will be the one who have the easiest punishment in hellfire. The easiest punishment, as mentioned by Abdullah ibn Abbas, collected by Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, of the inmates of hellfire, the one with the easiest punishment will be a man who is Abu Talib, who will be wearing a pair of shoes. It's the easiest punishment, the lightest. He will be wearing a pair of shoes which will cause his brain to boil. He will believe that he has the harshest punishment in hellfire. Just like in paradise, inshallah ta'ala, the one that has the least of all will think he has the most of all. So the one in hellfire, Abu Talib, will believe that he has the harshest punishment in hellfire. So he will be on the top level of hellfire. And as Muslim ibn Hajjaj mentions, from Samara ibn Jundub, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there are among them to whom the fire will reach to their ankles, and some to their knees, and some to the waist, and some will reach up to their collarbones, and indeed others will cover them. So hellfire has levels and grades and ranks, degrees, relative to the intensity and gravity of the sins perpetrated by its inhabitants. So the worse the sin, obviously the sinner will fall deeper into its abyss, the deeper he goes down into hellfire. And this is why it's been mentioned that all will have degrees and grades according to what they used to do. Now, some of our predecessors mentioned that the first level is for the believing sinners, the Muslim sinners, as well as the pagans who aided the prophets and the Muslims. While the other ones are for those who cause corruption over corruption with disbelief. And others have said that There are names for these levels. And if you look at the book, as you all know, The Spectacles of Death by Muhammad Islam, it's mentioned that the first level is called Jahim, then Jahannam, then Sa'ir, then Saqar, then Al-Hawiyah, then Al-Hutama, and so forth. However, we must understand that there is no proof for these divisions, nor is there proof for the names that have been attributed to the various levels of hell. These are only names that the Almighty Lord named hell with. And as Muslims, it is better not to engage in speculation in any matter to do with Islam. Any matter to do with Islam. Never speculate. Unless there is some proof from the Quran and Sunnah for what you say. And Abdul Rahman ibn Zayd ibn Aslam mentions that the levels of hellfire go down while the levels of paradise go up. We ask the Almighty Lord that we are among those who go up and nasr al-afiyah, that we do not go down. However, what we can say is and confirm is that the bottom depths of hellfire, the lowest depths, are reserved or are the dwelling places for whom? For whom? The hypocrites. As the Almighty Lord mentions.
إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا.
نسأل الله العافية. That the hypocrites indeed will be in the bottom depths of hellfire, and no helper shall you find for them. Likewise, there are names or specific names that were given to particular people or groups that have been mentioned, whether it's in the Quran or in the authentic hadith, people who will be in hellfire. And among them is Fir'aun, Pharaoh. And we all know Fir'aun as being the unjust, arrogant, insolent, evil, false leader. When Harun and Musa alayhim as-salam approached him with clear evidences, did he accept it? He wrongfully rejected them both. Not only did he reject them, but he claimed divinity, saying, I am your Lord Most High, and I know of no Lord for you but me. And subhanAllah, when Moses approached him, and the actual rod of his turned into what? A serpent, a snake. So he brought the best of magicians in order to destroy what he believed as magic. But when the magicians turned their rods into what? Into snakes, what had happened? His snake, which is no magic, ate the snakes of the magicians. And thus when they saw that, what happened? When his magicians saw that, what they do? Because they knew magic cannot do this. So they fell down in prostration, claiming out loud, we believe in the Lord of Moses. And Pharaoh was absolutely shocked that they believed in this when he brought them in order to destroy what he believed as magic. But Pharaoh, and wayyim yastahiqqu min Allah, the Almighty Lord, destroyed him and his army when he was in the sea pursuing Moses and the Israelites. And there, when he was getting drowned, what did he try to utter? What did Pharaoh try to utter? He tried to say out loud, when he saw death colliding onto him, the water, he said, Amantu billadhi amana bihi Ali Musa wama ana min al-mushrikeen aw al-kafirin. He said, I believe in that which the children of Adam or children of Moses or of Israel believed in. And I'm not of one of those who disbelieved. Now when Jibril saw this, what did he say? He goes, I would have loved to just throw dirt in his mouth so he would not have uttered that word. But it benefits him. So the Almighty Lord says about him and his people the following verse.
النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب.
the fire, they will see it day and night. As we are speaking now, Pharaoh and his army and his people are witnessing the fire as we currently speak. Day and night, day and night, day and night. And then the ayah says, and when the day of the establishment of the hour appears, it will be said to the angels, cause the people of Pharaoh to enter the severest punishment. And who will lead them into hellfire? Let us listen to whom will lead the people of Pharaoh into hellfire.
يقدم قومه يوم القيامة فأوردهم النار وبئس الورد المورود.
Pharaoh will go ahead of his people on the day of resurrection, and he will lead them to hell and evil. Woeful indeed is the place to which they will be led. And this is the case of every arrogant, false liar. Instead of guiding his people to success, having that position, he guided his people to eternal damnation. And many people out there today follow false leaders. Were they in the right or were they in the wrong? And every single person who follows a false leader, blindly, right, wrong, whatever, it is like you are worshipping this thing or this person. This is why on the day of resurrection, you will follow your leader. If you worshipped your leader, to hellfire. Just as Pharaoh will drag behind him his people and then be thrown into hellfire. Another man that has been mentioned specifically in a hadith is Amr ibn Luhay. This man was the first one who devoted animals to deity before the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He named these animals Bahira and As-Sa'ibah. And as Muslim ibn Hijjaj narrates from Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr Abu Huraira, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw Amr ibn Luhay dragging his intestines, subhanAllah, dragging his intestines in hellfire. For indeed, he was the first one who devoted animals to deity. Another group that will be mentioned will be from among women. And who are they? Two women that betrayed their husbands, both in conduct and in faith. The wife of whom? Of Nuh. And the wife of Lut. They rejected Islam. They rejected faith. They rejected their husbands, they betrayed them, and they betrayed Islam, and thus the Almighty Lord made them an example for all humanity to the last second of this earth, for those who disbelieved. And subhanAllah, these ladies had husbands as prophets. Could they save them? No, they could not save them. Let us see what Allah Ta'ala has to say about these two ladies.
ضرب الله مثلا للذين كفروا امرأة نوح وامرأة لوط كانتا تحت عبدين من عبادنا صالحين فخانتاهما فلم يغنيا عنهما من الله شيئا وقيل ادخلا النار مع الداخلين.
The Almighty Lord sets forth an example for those who disbelieve. Those who disbelieve, alhamdulillah, there are no disbelievers here, walillahi alhamd. The wife of Nuh and the wife of Lut. Two ladies who are under our righteous slaves. But they betrayed their husbands by rejecting the doctrines they had come with. And Lut and Nuh benefited them not, availed them not against Allah. And it will be said on the day of resurrection, enter you in hellfire with those who enter it. This is the situation of the wife of Lut and the wife of Nuh. Another name or names that have been mentioned in the Quran is a couple. Jamil and her husband, who is Jamil, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab. And Abu Lahab was whom? He was the uncle, the paternal uncle of whom? Of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, a big difference than Abu Talib. So Abu Lahab, who was one of the most obstinate enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of Islam, when the verse and warn of your near kindred was revealed, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the mount of Safa. So he called out, Ya Sabaha! Ya Sabaha! And this was mentioned by the Arabs when something is about to happen. So they all gathered around the mount of Safa. And he was on the pinnacle of the mount. He called out to them. All the chiefs were there. The people were there. If I were to say to you that there were soldiers on the side of these mountains that were rushing, proceeding to attack you, would you believe me? SubhanAllah, look how we introduced the matter. Didn't say straight away, I am here to warn you of a severe punishment. Look at the way this man of rationality and wisdom introduced the matter. If I say to you, there are soldiers on the side of these mountains proceeding to invade you, to attack you, to destroy you, would you believe me? And what did they say? What did they say? A word that should be written, wallahi, in gold. We have never known you to tell a lie. Of course we'll believe you. That was the reply. He said, well, I am here to warn you of a severe punishment for anyone who disbelieves. I am here to warn you of hellfire if you do not accept that which I have come with. And then who called out loud or cried out loud, Ya Rafiq? Abu Lahab! Abu Lahab! Lahab Ra'abtu! He called out loud. He goes, is this the reason why you have gathered us here? May ye be perished all day. And then he walked away. And when he said that, the verse of Surah Al-Lahab, Masad, was revealed. Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin watab. Let us listen to it.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin watab.
Perish the hands, the two hands of Abu Lahab. Perished he is.
ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب.
His wealth and all that he owned did not avail him.
سيصلى نارا ذات لهب.
He will be burnt and burnt and burnt in the fire of blazing flames. And as we heard last week, it is not like the fire of this earth. نسأل الله العافية.
وامرأته حمالة الحطب.
And his wife, Jamil, will be carrying wood, because she carried wood on this earth. What, did she carry wood for the firewood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so he can make a barbecue for him? No, the wood means he physical harm, vocal harm. She actually harmed him with her voice. She harmed him with her hands. She used to carry thorns and fiber from palm leaves and place it in the dark nights on the way that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked in order to cause him bodily harm. And thus, the punishment she will receive is a severe one. In her neck will be twisted fiber, a rope of twisted fiber. You know, palm fiber, that thing that prick, that will be a chain of fire on that day. And when this verse was revealed for the first time, Jamil, the wife of Abu Lahab, was shocked. You know, how could something like this be mentioned about her and her husband? Because SubhanAllah, this whole verse was related to this couple. So she went out looking for whom? For Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Muhammad at that time was sitting next to whom? Next to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. What a man. What companionship. Muhammad sallallahu was the greatest creature. And Abu Bakr was the greatest creature after whom? After whom? After all the prophets and messengers. So two of the greatest creatures were sitting together. What companionship. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So Abu Bakr was sitting next to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he saw Jameel walking. She was in a state of anger. Where is he? Where is he? You know, in a naggy sort of old fussy type. Where is he? She wants to see Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to sort of blast him. How could you say such evil poetry against me? So Abu Bakr witnessed her coming, approaching him. And he said to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companion, Ya Rasulullah, she is approaching. It is better for you to move away. Go away, lest she may harm you. He said that she will not be able to see me. So she approached him. Muhammad was next to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was there, and he said, where is your companion? Who is saying poetry about me? Poetry. Who's talking poetry? I mean, it's not for her to her reality, it's poetry. He's a poet now. Well, they call him poet, they call him a madman, they call him a liar, they call him a magician, such everything. So this time he's a poet. And he said to her, Abu Bakr, this wise, intelligent believer, he said to her, by Allah, my companion, the Prophet of Allah, does not tell poetry, does not say poetry. It is not poetry. It is the word of the Almighty Lord. And wallahi, it is the word of the Almighty Lord and no other. And she said, you believe that? And she walked away. Then, where was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Was he moved right behind the boundary and started hiding? No. He was just witnessing all of this before his very eyes. And Abu Bakr asked him, Ya Rasulullah, she didn't see you. And what happened? He goes, an angel placed a screen between me and her. An angel placed a screen between me and her. And subhanAllah, how much faith would you sort of get after witnessing this like Abu Bakr did before his very eyes? This was the situation of Jameel and Abu Lahab. And inshaAllah we'll leave it at that. And the continuation of hell will be next week. And inshaAllah ta'ala, will be completed within 2 weeks inshaAllah, the topic of hell. And thus we'll initiate the beautiful topic, chapter of paradise. We ask the Almighty Lord that we are all placed in the highest of al-Firdaws, al-A'la, the highest of paradise, the day that we get resurrected, inshaAllah.